This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! As the great basketball philosopher Rasheed Wallace once said, ball don't lie. And as Texas fans have said for a number of years, here we are again. It's February and the Longhorns are staring down, being on the bubble as it relates to the NCAA tournament for what feels like the 28th season in a row. I'm Dustin McComas. Welcome back to the Drop and Dimes podcast on the yak.com. We are up to episode number 26 and the Longhorns are 12-10 overall this season. They are 4-5 in the Big 12. The month of February is here. The halfway point in conference play is here. And really, the final stretch of the regular season for college basketball is here. We're not that far away from the conference tournaments, from Selection Sunday. I mean, it'll fly by, you know, especially in a league like the Big 12, where it seems like there's drama every single night of the week as it relates to basketball and a bunch of unpredictable results. So, yeah, the Longhorns are staring down another February where they need to win some games. They need to try to find some form of consistency or semi-consistency to win enough games to get into the NCAA tournament. They're going to have a lot of opportunities to do so. They had an opportunity over the weekend at Iowa State to grab what would have been a monstrous road win. I mean, the road wins just count so much more than home wins as it relates to the NCAA tournament resume. And Texas had a chance to win. They were up 48-45 kind of late in the second half. Matt Coleman had a big three-pointer from the corner, then a little running floater. Texas had built a three-point lead after trailing pretty much the entire game. You know, there's one point in the first half where Iowa State looked like it was going to run Texas out of the gym with a 22-9 lead. Texas, as it has done often this season, bounced back, fought back, cut it to a four-point deficit at halftime, trailed for pretty much the entire second half until a little under the seven-minute mark when Coleman put them ahead. And it was another road game that was there for the taking, like Oklahoma State was. Not so much Kansas, although Texas, the way it closed that game, really actually had a chance to win on the final possession. But the Iowa State game, it had a lead. It was playing with a ton of confidence. It was bouncing around. It had a lot of energy in its step. And then immediately after Texas grabbed that lead, they had two, I don't want to say poor closeouts, because I don't know if the Kerwin Roach one was poor. I mean, he got out there and contested a three, and it just went in. But Dylan Ostakowski looked like he fell asleep, or somebody fell asleep in Texas' zone defense in the corner. He closes out late and actually fouls a three-point shooter, and all of a sudden, Iowa State is back in front by four and kind of keeps its distance the rest of the way. Texas actually cut the game to a one-point Iowa State lead late. But, you know, give Iowa State credit. Nick Tyler Babb made a really, really tough bank shot to put Iowa State up 61-58 late. And then you look at the guy that Texas actually did a really good job on, Muriel Shayuk, 6'6 senior. I mean, he's been arguably Iowa State's best player of late. Texas actually held him to 3 of 14 from the floor, but unfortunately for Texas, one of those makes was a deep two-point jumper to put Iowa State ahead and really close out the game. I mean, Texas just couldn't get anything to fall. You know, and coaches often say a lot of these games are sometimes as simple as it's a make-or-miss game. And Iowa State had a one-point lead and made its shots. Texas, trying to come all the way back, didn't make its shots, and Iowa State was able to hold off Texas for the win. So it was a pretty wild game from the win probability standpoint. If you go to KenPom.com, they always – it's not immediately after the game, but they eventually publish basically a graph – based on the win probability. And Iowa State, actually, when tip-off began, had a 78.1% chance of winning that game, according to KenPom.com. When Texas actually took the lead, it had a 59.3% chance of winning. And then it kind of went back and forth a little bit until Iowa State eventually pulled back ahead and closed that game. So, yeah, it's weird. You kind of see this almost flat line, and all of a sudden it's like Texas's chances spike up when it goes on that run to get back in front. And then Iowa State was able to close it out. So, you know, on its own, you look at that game for Texas. They didn't play particularly well, but they fought. They really competed. They had a great collective mindset as a group. And they had a chance to win. And if you look at that on your own, you're thinking, okay, kind of an expected result, honestly. I mean, Texas, I think, was like an 8 or 9 point underdog. But you look on your own as like, as a Texas fan, you're probably looking at a schedule, you know, weeks ago, like, okay, at Iowa State's probably going to be a loss. It's really, really difficult to win in the Big 12 anywhere. And Iowa State is one of the better teams in the league. It's a really tough place to play. So on its own, this result is kind of just, meh. But when you consider where Texas is right now, entering that game 12-9, entering that game 4-4 in the Big 12, entering that game in really not desperate need of a big road win, although any win helps, but in need of any extra big moment that they can find, any extra big emphasis point on the NCAA tournament resume, which this Iowa State game would have given them. And that's just kind of where Texas is right now, because of Radford, because of VCU at home, because of Providence at home, because of at Oklahoma State, because of some of these games earlier this season where Texas was in what it was in against Iowa State, which was another close basketball game with a chance to win, and Texas just didn't make enough shots down the stretch. And it didn't always help itself, really. There were some moments in the first half where its offense was pretty poor. Way too much of a reliance on three-point shooting, even though they weren't going in. Too much standing around, not enough ball movement. I mean, but these are things that we've seen from Texas before. So as long as it's going to stay married to this concepts-based ball screen offense that puts so much decision-making in the guards' hands and really, truly in their heads, because that's what drives the offense, you're going to have those moments when there are some slow stretches. But, you know, Texas played its way back into the game offensively, making some shots, making some things happen on defense. They went to a zone to really disrupt Iowa State's rhythm. And strangely enough, Texas totally dictated the pace of that game. You know, Iowa State really, really wants to get up and down and wants to invite teams to play quick on offense and then get out and run on their own on offense. They won a high possession type of game. And Texas totally dictated the pace of that game, especially in the second half. Its zone defense wasn't great, but what it did was disrupt Iowa State's flow some and really change the pace of that basketball game. So Texas actually did some quality things in that game. It just didn't make enough shots, didn't make enough plays, and it hurt itself early on in the first half. And when you do those things, it's tough to beat a team like Iowa State on the road. So here Texas is again. It's 12-10. 4-5 in the league. It's got nine league games left. It's, I believe, 41st in the NCAA net rankings, which are its new set of rankings to replace RPI. And while those will factor a lot into what happens with the NCAA tournament, it's not the only thing. I'd say the biggest emphasis point for the selection committee when it comes to the NCAA tournament is quality of wins. What do you have any standout wins? And if you look at a Texas's resume, beating North Carolina would be one of those. Purdue, it would actually be one of those as well. I mean, Purdue has won. I mean, they're 9-2 in the Big Ten right now. They are on a 7-game winning streak. I mean, they're rolling. They're 16-6, one of the top teams in the Big Ten. So that's one of those resume wins that gets a lot of attention. I think at Kansas State will end up being one of those as well. Not so much Arkansas on a neutral floor, but it's going to rate well because it was a neutral site game and because Arkansas is 50 in the KenPom rankings and 4-4 in the SEC. It actually just went on the road and got a huge win over LSU that's going to boost its resume up. So Grand Canyon is a KenPom up to number 70 in the KenPom rankings. Again, beating them at home, not a huge deal, but that's another one that's going to rate in a certain area that's going to help. So Texas has some stand-up type wins, but its problem is it's got so many close losses, and some of those losses are going to weigh it down. I've mentioned Radford, I mentioned VCU, mentioned Providence, who has kind of taken a big slide back since the Texas game. That game at Oklahoma State, at Georgia, I mean, those are games that Texas needs to win. If you really just look at the games Texas should have just handled their business in, the complexion of the season would be so much different. And I don't think Texas would be a better or worse basketball team. Just the entire mood surrounding the team or surrounding the program as it relates to the fan base and everything else would just be so much different. You actually look at the efficiency ratings for Texas on both offense and defense. They're not bad. They're not bad. Texas is 30th in the KenPom rankings, which is, you know, basically you're a fringe top 25 type team. But then you look at the 12 and 10, and it's like, what? Why? How can this team, in terms of efficiency, rate as one of the better teams Texas has had in the last few years and be 12 and 10? So it just gets back to those close basketball games. And, you know, looking ahead, we talked to Shaka Smart today. He does a, when they play, I guess when it's not on Monday, he hosts a weekly Q&A press conference with the media. You know, and we talked about a number of topics today, but one that really stood out to me was the way Texas plays in these final nine conference games before the conference tournament, and really how it plays the rest of the season. It's defined by a lot of things, you know, perimeter shooting, not committing ugly turnovers, playing with a lot of urgency and effort on defense, running offense the right way. I mean, you can go through the factors, and we've seen throughout the schedule recently, most notably in some of those losses, that you can pinpoint areas here or there where Texas just wasn't quite good enough. And that all goes into how it's going to play down the stretch. You know, it needs to be a better, more consistent team on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. We haven't seen many games where Texas was really solid on both ends of the floor. But there's one thing above all else that's going to determine whether Texas is going to win the games it needs to win to get into the NCAA tournament. And it can only do that by finding some consistency, and really with this stretch coming up. And that way is the play of Roach, Osikowski, and Coleman. And I know Jackson Hayes is one of the best players on the Texas roster, and really one of the guys that just hates losing and is a great competitor. You know, Texas, I don't know if its roster is filled with a lot of those guys, but Hayes is one of those guys. He's a big-time competitor. But really, I mean, the leadership comes down to Coleman, Roach, and Osikowski. I mean, those freshman guys, they're still just freshmen. They look up to, you know, the leaders on the team. And it's really up to Osikowski, Roach, and Coleman to play at a level each night that's going to give Texas a chance to win. And when those guys, all three of them collectively, play at a good level and they play with the type of poise and leadership that Texas needs, they can win any remaining game on their schedule. But the problem for Texas too often has been is that those three guys, maybe you get one of them that has that. Maybe you get two of them that have that. There hasn't been many times when there's been all three. You know, there's been some times when there's been two, but there hasn't been many times when there's been all three. And Osikowski's been much better about it lately. I'd say that he's probably had a three-week stretch where you can tell that he's demanding more of others, that there's some urgency to his game, that he's tired of losing, that he's being aggressive when he goes on the floor. But he needs some help with that. He needs more help with that from Matt Coleman. He needs more help with that with Kerwin Roach. And Coleman showed some signs of that at Iowa State. He had that look in his eye, you know, when he really gets going with playing with a bunch of confidence and poise. He had that look in the second half against Iowa State. Roach had it at times as well. I know he had a couple of big moments in that Iowa State game, and, you know, wasn't as good as he was defensively against Kansas, but he showed the type of effort and attention to defense that Texas needs. But it needs those guys to be better. It needs those guys to be more consistent. I mean, that really, above all else, is going to determine whether Texas is going to make the NCAA tournament or not. you know, there's a stretch coming up here, and it begins with Texas hosting Baylor on Wednesday. And it begins with a home game against Baylor, and Texas on the road at West Virginia on Saturday. Then it comes back home and it hosts Kansas State for a home game Tuesday, and then it hosts Oklahoma State for a home game Saturday before going on the road against Oklahoma. So that stretch, this is a time when Texas has to make its move. It has to find some sort of consistency. You know, it's hard to play the on paper game with the Big 12 because it's kind of predictable in the sense that it's really hard to win on the road, but it's also unpredictable from the sense of, you know, a team like Baylor is on a 6-game winning streak right now and is atop the league standings. Like there's that element to the Big 12 as well, to where there's usually a few games every week where there's like, wow, I didn't see that coming. So it's hard to go on paper and say, okay, Texas is going to win this, and this, especially with the Longhorns. I mean, we're talking about a team that opened the year 5-0, but ever since then hasn't won more than 3 games in a row, and really hasn't won more than 2 games in a row since the first week of January, since that 3-game stretch when they beat UTA, Kansas State, and West Virginia. So it's hard to play the on-paper game with Texas and start poking at games that that one's going to be a win. Well, it's not that easy with this group. It's not really that easy with any group in the Big 12. But this is the stretch in terms of favorable matchups to where Texas really needs to make a move. Because if you look at the KenPom rankings, West Virginia's at 98, Oklahoma State's at 100. You know, Texas is going to be close to a double-digit favorite in that Oklahoma State game. It's going to be a rare favorite on the road against West Virginia. It's going to be a favorite at home against Kansas State. Heck, I bet it's probably a favorite Wednesday against Baylor. So there are some real opportunities for Texas to string some wins together here. And then if you look at Oklahoma on the road, you know, that's ways away, February 23rd. But this is an Oklahoma team that's kind of fallen into a bad place right now. They got absolutely smoked by 30 points by Baylor recently. And then they went on the road to West Virginia and lost by 8. And that was an Oklahoma team, to me, lacking on talent. You know, Lon Kruger's a good coach. They're good at really trying to attack teams with mismatch situations and things like that. But I wonder if this is the beginning of a big slide for Oklahoma, because they host Iowa State tonight, then they host Texas Tech, and then they got to go on the road to Baylor and TCU before that Texas game. So this is going to be a rough stretch for the Sooners. But really, Texas, if they're going to find some form of winning streak, whether that's winning 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5, or it's got to happen now. I mean, this is the time when it has to happen. And Shaka Smart was encouraged today by the, you know, he's big on the word connectivity, like the team rallying around one thing and being connected, each guy, you know, thinking about the same cause and playing for the team and putting winning above everything else. And he did sound encouraged about the mentality Texas had from that approach in both the Kansas game and the Iowa State game. And, you know, those two games looked dramatically different than the Georgia game, which was just an embarrassing effort on defense. So Texas has shown it's in there. But here we are again saying the same thing that we've said, I think, for the entire Shaka Smart tenure, is where's the consistency going to come? It really, I think, that the one thing above all else that's going to determine that consistency is Roach, Osikowski, and Coleman. Because so much of the way I think Shaka Smart designs his program, you know, really, you know, if you want to get specific as it relates to the schematics on offense, this is especially true. It's really up to the players. But so much of his program, I think, he designs from the standpoint of wanting a players-led program. And this isn't that different from a lot of college coaches. You know, this is something Bill Self mentioned after they played at Texas. You know, he mentioned it matters more when it comes from the players, that sort of voice, that sort of not accepting losing and things like that. So from this standpoint, Shaka is not that different from a lot of college coaches. But I do think that he spends so much time on the mental side in the psychology of basketball and his players that it's especially true for his program, and that it's going to go the way the players take it. That's really it's such a players-led design from their process. They use the word process all the time. And it's really designed so much on, you know, the players, you know, have got to, eventually are going to take this thing, take it over, and just run with it. And we're 22 games into the season, and that hasn't happened yet. There's been moments when it looks like it's going to happen, or it did happen for that specific game, but it hasn't happened yet consistently. And that's why the play of Roach, Osakowski, and Coleman, and really just the mindset they step onto the floor with, is gonna most determine whether Texas is gonna win the games it needs to win. I mean, those guys are gonna take Texas either to the NCAA tournament or towards a really disappointing finish to what would be an unsatisfactory season, a disappointing season. Because this, on paper, this team should have been Shaka Smart's best team at Texas. You're not convincing me otherwise. This should on paper before the season should have been a team that finished in the top four in the Big 12 and won at least one NCAA tournament game. So those players, I mean, the way things are designed and you know, how much Texas needs those guys on the floor to really support, you know, Jaxson Hayes and Courtney Ramey and Jace Febres and those guys, the play and the mindset of those guys is going to determine whether Texas wins enough games to get into the NCAA tournament or not. Again, you're listening to episode 26 of the Droppin' Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of orangebloods.com. Just kind of going through here some thoughts on Texas' loss on the road at Iowa State this past Saturday. Texas will host Baylor on Wednesday before going on the road to West Virginia. Really, this week needs to be a 2-0 week for Texas. And this Baylor team comes in scorching hot. I mean, what they've done is, you know, kudos to Scott Drew. They lost Tristan Clark, and they kind of changed how they play. And they really utilize a small lineup extremely well. And, I mean, they got a guy in Makai Mason, a senior grad transfer, that just dropped 40 points on TCU the other night. And, boy, I mean, I saw a little bit of the game. He was letting TCU hear it, too. I mean, there's a moment where he signals to the TCU bench for Jamie Dixon to call a timeout after he hit another three. I mean, that guy was feeling it. And this whole Baylor team is feeling it right now. They are number one in offensive efficiency in the Big 12. You know, they're the number one offensive rebounding team in the Big 12. They throw that sort of unique zone at teams, you know, that 1-3-1 type deal. But right now they also, as Shaka Smart mentioned today, they'll show zone after makes or man-to-man after misses. I mean, they really switch up their defenses. But really it gets back to the fact that they're just playing with a ton of confidence, and especially on offense. I mean, they're so far ahead the rest of the league in offensive efficiency. I mean, Texas is actually number three at 105.3. I mean, it's basically points per 100 possessions. Baylor's at 115.4. I mean, it's way ahead of Iowa State, who's number two at 106.7. So this Baylor team is rolling on offense right now. They don't get to the free throw line a ton, but man, they shoot the crap out of the ball from beyond the arc. I mean, they're first in the Big 12 at 40.2% from beyond the arc, which we know at times recently has been an issue for Texas. You look at Texas in terms of three-point defense in the Big 12, 36.2%. Not a great number. Texas was much better at that early in the season. It's starting to show more attention to that of late, and it's going to need to show a lot of attention to that against Baylor. So this Baylor team, you know, Shaka Smart talked today about, you know, when you catch teams in the Big 12 is, you know, a pretty important factor in some of these matchups. And right now Texas is catching Baylor. Texas is catching Baylor on a six-game winning streak, 6-2 in the Big 12, and playing with as much confidence as any team in the country. So it's going to be a challenge for Texas on Wednesday. It's going to be – I think it's going to be the biggest challenge for Texas will be not settling for three-pointers in matching the confidence and the aggressiveness of Baylor with the confidence and aggressiveness of their own. And really the battle on the glass will be key. You know, I mentioned Baylor has been the best offensive rebounding team in the Big 12. Well – they haven't been particularly great at limiting teams on the offensive glass. I believe they rank, let's see, offensive rebound percentage. Where is that? No, they have been. Excuse me. I was looking at free throw rate. So they've cleaned up the glass basically better than anybody in the Big 12. They rebound very well on offense. They go after the misses. And I think that's a product of they all understand in terms of timing and rhythm in their offense when shots are going to go up. And they limit teams from offense rebounds on the other end as well. The big thing, as I was speaking about aggressiveness, is Baylor will put a lot of teams in the free throw line. They're second to last in free throw rate in the Big 12. And Texas is surprisingly the number one free throw percentage team in the league at 78.9 in conference games. The problem for Texas is they're dead last in free throw rate, and it's a really low number. So can Texas find that consistency? Because the way Baylor sometimes plays defense, it doesn't invite those perimeter shots. And sure, against a zone, if you move the ball the right way, you can get quality open three-point looks in rhythm. You can also get kind of good three-point looks that might encourage guys to shoot the ball early in the shot clock, kind of by design. So whether the aggressiveness of Texas and its ability to get to the free throw line and really compete on the glass is going to go a long way to determining whether they get what they a home win that they really, really, really need, or if they're going to be 12-11 as they head into a road game at West Virginia. A road game that would basically almost become a must-win game for Texas. So aggressiveness will go a long way in this matchup. Looking at the Big 12 as a whole, I mentioned Baylor at the top of the conference. Baylor at 6-2, Kansas State at 6-2, Iowa State at 6-3, and Kansas at 6-3. Then you got Texas Tech at 5-4, and Texas at 4-5. So it's kind of what we thought at the beginning of the year. You know, 12 wins is probably going to win the league if a team actually gets there. I mean, I'm starting to wonder if we're just going to have a bunch of 11-7, 10-8, 9-9, and 8-10 teams, and then, you know, Oklahoma State and West Virginia down at the bottom below the pack. Although I think Oklahoma is in danger of kind of sliding into that position as well. So, yeah, a bunch of good teams or teams that could potentially be good, but not any great teams. I don't see a great team right now. I don't think Kansas is great. After watching Iowa State again, I don't think they're great. I don't think Texas Tech is great. It's way too much defense and not enough offense as relates to efficiency. So it's going to be a bloodbath the rest of the way in the Big 12. And it's going to be a bunch of close games every single time. It's going to come down to, you know, whose veterans can play the best and the most consistently. I mean, you look at one of the things I like that KenPom.com does is it basically, after every single Big 12 game, it projects the Big 12 all-conference team. So the five players that would make up the all-conference team. And you look right now, and there are three seniors, a junior, and a sophomore on that list. Barry Brown, senior guard from Kansas State. Christian James, a senior from Oklahoma. Mariel Shayuk, a senior from Iowa State, and then you got junior Diedrich Lawson at Kansas, and then sophomore Jarrett Culver, who's projected to be a lottery pick. So much of this league comes down to veteran play. You know, are your veterans on any given night going to be better than the other team's veterans? And really, especially if you have guards, that is really true. Are your guards going to be better than the other team's guards? And I think that that's what it comes down to for Texas to end as it enters this final half of Big 12 play. Can its veterans and its leaders become consistent and outplay other teams' veterans and leaders? If that happens, Texas can string together wins. If that doesn't happen, we're just going to continue on this Texas roller coaster where it's one win, one loss, or two wins, two losses, or, you know, two wins, one loss, and then a win and two losses. It's just going to keep going up and down and up and down until I think just by design of the way Texas designs things, until those veteran players just grab hold of this thing and just become a consistent performers night in, night out. So we'll see what happens. Again, Texas has a stretch coming up here where if it's going to make a move, it's got to come now. It just, that's where it's got to come. I mean, it's difficult to pick out wins and losses on paper with Texas and with the Big 12. But these matchups are setting up for Texas to make a run, to potentially win some games. But it's got to start on Wednesday against Baylor. And Baylor is going to come in there with as much confidence as any team has come into the Irwin Center this season. That includes Kansas. That includes Purdue. That includes anyone. So Texas will have its work cut out for it on Wednesday night. And with that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Dropping Dimes podcast on theyak.com, episode 26 in the books. I'm Dustin McComas of orangebloods.com. We'll see what happens with Texas on Wednesday night against Baylor. We'll see what happens after that moving forward and what is a stretch of games that Texas really should handle its business and actually string together some wins and feel good about itself and stop the string of close losses and inconsistent results. So we will see. The month of February is here. It's such a defining month for college basketball teams. This is really when you see a lot of the shuffling and movement as relates to the NCAA tournament. And Texas still at 12-10 and 4-5 in the Big 12 still realistically controls its destiny. I mean, it could beat anybody that's left on its schedule. It can lose to anybody that's left on its schedule. How this season plays out is up to Shaka Smart and really also up to how much Shaka Smart can get out of those veteran players. If they find consistency from those veteran guys and Texas cleans up some of the little areas that have plagued it in some of these close losses, it can play its way into the NCAA tournament. If it doesn't, it's going to be a very, very nervous Selection Sunday in a Big 12 tournament that's probably going to require Texas to win one, maybe two games to even feel good about chances about getting into the NCAA tournament. So we will see, and here we are again. I have a feeling we'll be doing a lot of bubble talk on the next editions of the Drop and Dives podcast. But until then, have a great week. I hope you had a good Monday. I hope that everybody is not dealing with a bunch of these flu bugs and viruses and everything else that's flying around. Apologies for me being stuffed up. I am pounding the Mucinex right now, which I highly recommend. The 9-symptom severe day and cold Mucinex really gets the job done. That's your over-the-counter med tip of the day from Dustin McComas. But until next time, have a great week, and thank you for listening. Get to theyak.com. Take advantage of all the great podcasts. Content from Jeff Ketchum, Anwar Richardson, Jason Sukumel. Some cool hip-hop podcasts are out there, recruiting podcasts, football podcasts. We got podcasts for tech stuff. I mean, there's a new podcast waiting for you every single day. So get to theyak.com, take advantage of that great content, and thank you for listening. We will catch you next time on the next installment of the Dropping Dimes podcast. I'm Dustin McComas. Take care.